I'm Pastor Nicole Chapman Farley, Interim Associate Pastor, and this is The Message. We're glad that you are listening from here in Libertyville, Lake County, or around the world. Center your heart now with a prayer for illumination. Listen deeply to Holy Scripture, and allow the message to speak God's word for your life.
Please join me in the prayer for illumination. Gracious God, we do not live by bread alone, but by every word that comes from your mouth. Make us hungry for this heavenly food, that it may nourish us today in the ways of eternal life, through Jesus Christ, the bread of heaven. Amen. The Emmaus Road story in Luke 24, 13 through 35 gives us a glimpse of Christian worship. There is a gathering of disciples. They hear the word in scripture and interpretation. They break bread together, and they go tell others the good news. The Lord has risen indeed. Here is a scriptural witness to the fourfold pattern of worship practiced across the centuries around the globe. Gathering, word, meal, and sending. Listen for a word from God in this story now. On that same day, two disciples were traveling to a village called Emmaus, about 7 miles from Jerusalem. They were talking to each other about everything that had happened. While they were discussing these things, Jesus himself arrived and joined them on their journey. They were prevented from recognizing him. He said to them, "What are you talking about as you walk along?" They stopped, their faces downcast. The one named Cleopas replied, "Are you the only visitor to Jerusalem who is unaware of the things that have taken place there over the last few days?" He said to them, "What things?" They said to him, "The things about Jesus of Nazareth. Because of his powerful deeds and words, he was recognized by God and all the people as a prophet. But our chief priests and our leaders handed him over to be sentenced to death, and they crucified him. We had hoped he was the one who would redeem Israel. All these things happened 3 days ago. But there's more. Some women from our group have left us stunned. They went to the tomb early this morning and didn't find his body. They came to us saying that they had even seen a vision of angels who told them he is alive. Some of those who were with us went to find the tomb and found things just as the women said. They didn't see him. Then Jesus said to them, 'You foolish people, your dull minds keep you from believing all that the prophets talked about. Wasn't it necessary for the Christ to suffer these things and then enter into his glory?' Then he interpreted for them the things written about himself in all the scriptures, starting with Moses and going through all the prophets. When they came to Emmaus, he acted as if he was going on ahead. But they urged him, saying, 'Stay with us. It's nearly evening and the day is almost over.' So he went in to stay with them. After he took his seat at the table with them, he took the bread, blessed and broke it, and gave it to them. Their eyes were opened, and they recognized him, but he disappeared from their sight. They said to each other, 'Weren't our hearts on fire when he spoke to us along the road and when he explained the scriptures for us?' They got up right then and returned to Jerusalem. They found the 11 and their companions gathered together. They were saying to each other, 'The Lord really has risen. He appeared to Simon.' Then the two disciples described what had happened along the road and how Jesus was made known to them as he broke the bread." This is the end of the first reading of Scripture today. May God put this reading to our use. For Mark's audience, the destruction of the temple was a reorientation in time and of time toward God's time, a moment that forced time to stand still or that changed time entirely. All of a sudden, the presence of God who oriented time and shaped time was in jeopardy. What do you do when the worship of God, that which gave meaning to time, is in peril? Advent asks us not to treat this time differently, but to live in time differently altogether. Listen now with that in mind. In those days, after the suffering of that time, the sun will become dark and the moon won't give its light. The stars will fall from the sky and the planets and other heavenly bodies will be shaken. Then they will see the human one coming in the clouds with great power and splendor. Then he will send the angels and gather together his chosen people from the four corners of the earth, from the end of the earth to the end of heaven. Learn this parable from the fig tree. After its branch becomes tender and it sprouts new leaves, you know that summer is near. In the same way, when you see these things happening, you know that he is near, at the door. I assure you that this generation won't pass away until all these things happen. Heaven and earth will pass away, but my words will certainly not pass away. But nobody knows when that day or hour will come, not the angels in heaven and not the Son. Only the Father knows. Watch out. Stay alert. You don't know when the time is coming. It is as if someone took a trip, left the household behind, and put the servants in charge, giving each one a job to do, and told the doorkeeper to stay alert. Therefore, stay alert. You don't know when the head of household will come, whether in the evening or at midnight, or when the rooster crows in the early morning or at daybreak. Don't let him show up when you weren't expecting and find you sleeping. What I say to you, I say to you all. Stay alert. Friends, this is the word of the Lord. Thanks be to God.
Will you pray with me? May the words of my mouth and the meditations of all of our hearts be acceptable in your sight, O Lord, our rock and our redeemer. Amen. Welcome. Welcome to Advent. It is a new year in the church calendar. And unlike the new year that begins in January, often with full steam toward new goals, new plans, new resolutions, in the church, we begin by slowing down. We begin with preparation. We begin with waiting. You may be thinking, what's slowing down? I feel like I'm busier than ever. And you wouldn't be alone. The version of Christmas that we prepare to celebrate with lists and shopping and added, mostly enjoyable events, and the version of Christmas we prepare to celebrate by waiting and watching have diverged. And so our theme for Advent this year is Watch for Joy. Our book study this Advent is around the book Advent Conspiracy, Making Christmas Meaningful Again, a book and a movement which seeks to help participants bring those two versions of preparation into greater alignment. This is how the authors describe the divergence. Each year, many of us routinely miss the wonder of God's miraculous birth. Reading those words even now should fill us with awe. But our overstuffed Decembers leave us wanting more. Our hyperconsumption leaves us empty. We worship less. We spend more. We give less. We struggle more. Less, more, more, less. Time and nerves stretch thin, and we reduce family and friends to a card or a present that costs the right amount to prove our level of love. Our quest to celebrate mystery exhausts us. Another Christmas has passed by like a blizzard. This can't be right. Missing the prophetic mystery of Jesus' birth means missing God with us, God beside us, God becoming one of us. Missing out on Jesus changes everything. A few weeks ago in the chapel, I spoke about expecting God to show up in our lives, anywhere and everywhere that we are, especially here in worship. I even had stickers made to help us remember, at least for as long as we keep noticing them, wherever we put them. If you want a sticker for yourself, you can find them outside my office in the CE wing, or for someone else for that matter. But expect God. Now, we are encouraging you to watch for joy. Our reading from Mark admonishes us to watch out, stay alert. In our reading from Luke, the disciples completely miss that they are with Jesus until they sit down and sit still for a meal, and Jesus shares bread with them. There is, of course, in all of this, a thread. Keep your eyes open, wide. Look around at what is already there. Our reading from Mark tells about the signs the fig tree shows that help us know that summer is near. Here in worship, what are the signs that Jesus is near? Our halls and our worship spaces are decked by the generous work of some of you all, not with boughs of holly, but with reminders of the season of waiting. The evergreens, as wreaths and trees and garlands, remind us of the everlasting life with God, which is to come. Our Advent wreath takes on the unfolding journey to Christ, and we must be patient as we light the candles week by week until finally we light the Christ candle, because Christ has come. Jesus is near, but we must wait. I, for one, am terrible at waiting. And I've gotten worse the more accessible and immediate things have become. With a conflicted heart, I order from Amazon when I am in a hurry to get something, and I grumble when an item isn't due to arrive the next day. Maybe waiting is a challenge for you too. The rhythm of worship, the rhythm of the church, is slow. Yet we, as people of God, can find ourselves out of practice in the practice of waiting. So the church calls us back into practice. Expect God. Stay alert. Watch for joy. I encourage you to take in this season with eyes wide open, but with a caution. If we were to try to take in the season at the dizzying pace of the world with our eyes wide open, we would quickly become overwhelmed and overstimulated. Think of our wide-eyed children who haven't yet learned the very tuning out I hope we can practice shedding this season. Overstimulated and overwhelmed are near daily occurrences as they try to keep up. They and we thrive in the wonder of the season when it is at its slowest. And they and we thrive in the wonder of the season when we are with others, not surrounded by others, but with others. Friends, Jesus is coming, and there is much beauty and awe to be seen in the signs of his coming. I don't want you to miss it. And I want worship to be a place of practice that equips you for watching and expecting in the world outside these doors. So for a moment, let us slow down with each other. As you and your neighbor are comfortable, I invite you to rest a hand on their shoulder or hold their hand, and if those gestures are not comfortable for you, simply rest your hands near one another on your pew. And breathe. And breathe. And breathe. God is near. My prayer is that we all might be slow together in this season, so we might watch for and find joy in the coming again of our Savior. So may it be for you and for me. Amen.
Thank you for listening on our podcast or through our YouTube playlist of sermons. Be sure to forward this message to someone who you believe is seeking God's word today.